He is Robin Leach. This is Car Keys.
The one thing about this car business that seems to be constant is that the fact that things change without necessarily a whole lot of thought being given to why they should change or shouldn't change. And the example for this today's show will be the discussion of General Motors. I don't know whether it was abruptly or not, but they've changed the plan to cancel the Cadillac CT6 and the Chevy Impala production of cars and extend it to January 2020. But it was instead of ending the production of these two vehicles in June of this year. Of course, embedded in the article further down, once you get through the headline, is the reason why. And it's very funny, but the reason why is that demand is apparently outstripping current supply for these two vehicles, as well they should, and I'll get to that in a minute, in my opinion. And suddenly, maybe it doesn't make sense for them to cancel it as early as they were going to. And the question will be going forward from June through until January of 2020 is whether they should continue to keep the production going beyond the January 2020 time period. Would you like to say
Professor,
something, Jill?
Yes, I would, simply because this is a chronic – I don't know if it's GM itself, I don't mean literally, or the reporting, because what people have to do is – To cut through the sludge, you make this random announcement. And this isn't just in auto. It's in everything. The world is ending.
Right.
And then
you watch,
it gets walked back, well, as the term goes.
My question following the talk about the GM situation is, will this happen at Ford also, which is planning to end production of the Fusion, which is one of the better automobiles that they have had out in a long time. And ironically, that car is being used not in Waymo, but in a number of the self-driving experiments that are going on throughout the country by the people who are trying to develop the self-driving cars. And I can't remember which group is using Fusions, but one of them is using Fusions. Every time you see a self-driving article or a thing on TV, the Fusions are the cars that are driving around in the self-driving experiments that are being discussed in that particular news broadcast. And the Fusion is, in my opinion, one of the best cars that Ford has going. I don't particularly find it styling exhilarating, but I can tell you that anybody who has a Fusion hybrid, be it the Energy or the plug-in or just the regular hybrid like my Sonata hybrid, absolutely adores that particular car version of the car's performance, and I'm talking about the hybrid version, which doesn't need plugging in, doesn't need anything other than standard oil changes, and outdoes, it did at the beginning, and I'm sure it's still doing, outdoes the mileage projections that are stamped on the window sticker, the Moroni sticker, as they call it, that you see on the side windows when you go through a car lot and look at them. And I know people who are getting 3 to 7 miles per gallon better mileage than the sticker claims that they will get with the Fusion. The Fusion gets, I'm sad to say, because I have my Hyundai Sonata hybrid, better miles per gallon than my Sonata does, which is a 2013. I gather the 2019s are improving, but still
behind.
They're still behind a little bit. Well, they may not be behind on the sticker, but they're whether behind in real life operation
or not, right.
I don't know. Huh. But so the Fusion's a great car, and should Ford be canceling it out? I don't know, but I haven't seen any articles saying that they're doing the same kind of thing that General Motors has just announced in this particular couple of days ago, month of February. They're also canceling out, I believe, the Taurus, which is one of the police vehicles used by many police departments throughout the country, even though many of the police departments are moving towards the SUVs, which in the Ford's case is the Explorer with the police version, and may supplant the entire use of the Taurus if the Taurus goes out of production, unless Ford does something with another sedan. But I don't see that on the horizon. In any event, the manufacturers make these rashly quick decisions, as you alluded to, as do other industries. And the press gets hold of it and ballyhoos it out there for everybody to read. And it will affect an acceleration of their plan to do this, or maybe it will decelerate the plan, as may be the case in the General Motors
and
situation.
And I think what I'm wondering about, I don't know, some of these, speaking of Taurus, some of these companies just do what they do. And I don't know if it's so radical for them. I'm just more concerned that the press gets a hold of something from a discussion. And the next thing,
is it a headline because they are short on other news items, or what? But it could be a number of things. But
anyway, the long short is that you got to pay attention because things that you.
The Cadillac CT6 has been a model, in my opinion, that has been one of the best models in the Cadillac lineup for years. They have evolved from the models of 10 years ago, which were smaller and less powerful. But the CT6 is still a very good model in my viewpoint. And the Chevy Impala, which is the counterpoint, I think, to the Ford Fusion, is also a very good-looking car. And I think there's a hybrid version of the Impala. I'm not sure. There's a hybrid version in the Chevrolet line somewhere, of which I do not know much about as far as the efficiency factor goes. But the Impala itself, in my viewpoint, is an attractive-looking car and a very appropriate vehicle to continue on in the General Motors lineup because, despite the fact that in the Northeast here, seems like, if not 9 out of 10 vehicles on the road, something like 7 out of 10 vehicles on the road are SUV crossovers as opposed to sedans, I think if one goes down south to the southern states and or out west to the far western states, that there are lots of sedans running around. And I, for one, own a sedan, and I like my sedan, and there are a number of people who have been in my sedan like my sedan, not because of what it is, but because it's a sedan and they find it comfortable and all that. So there are still legs in the market for sedans, as Toyota is going to prove Ford and General Motors correct. Nissan may prove Ford and General Motors correct. Hyundai may prove Ford and General Motors incorrect, I should be saying. I'm saying correct all that, in that they're going to keep sedans around. And, of course, they're going to mop up the market that the U.S. manufacturers lose because they quit the business of building sedans if they indeed continue forward with their plans to do so.
Well, you remember
all because instead of selling 2 million or whatever, a million and a half or whatever they've been doing, they've gone down to six figures in some of these lines on an annualized basis. And despite the fact that they have paid for the tooling, et cetera, and also have reached almost the pinnacle of the level of technology I believe that you're going to be able to reach with these sedans, with the blind spot detection, the self-steering correction, and all these other things that they're now putting in these vehicles, which would obviate the need to continue to design new technology into the cars if the technology can't get a whole lot better than it is. And there may be some argument against my statement out there, but the technology, in my viewpoint, is, with a few exceptions, is reaching the pinnacles of development capability for some of these safety things that are showing up in all the cars along the industry, whether they're SUVs, sedans, trucks, and the like. You've got so many safety systems now of either available optionally in packages or being put in as standard as competition starts putting them in standard. So be it. The ones that try to get you to pay extra for it are having to bite the bullet and add this technology as standard too to keep up with the competition. The cars are very safe. And we're not talking about self-driving cars here, but the cars with all these new technology advancements are so safe, they're almost annoying at levels because they've got so many beeps going off to tell you something's going on the side of you or behind you or in front of you or, God forbid, on top of you, that you may be distracted by beeps looking around to see what your technology is claiming is outside your vehicle. And so are we may be over technologically infusing these some of these vehicles with this and I for one have purchased or leased the Jeep that I have doesn't have all the technology, and I am very happy with the low level amount of technology I have in my Jeep, but with the exception of the blind spot, the not having the blind spot detection, which is basically telling you if you're on an interstate that a vehicle is moving up on your left, over your left shoulder or right shoulder, that you very often, because of the smaller glass sizes in some of the side windows and rear windows, you can't see even in your side view mirrors, because there are these blind spots, which is the blind spot detection device reason for having them, in which you can actually lose a tractor trailer over your left shoulder on an interstate sometimes and not see it. And try, if you go out to try to pass, you could very easily have a sideswipe impact situation. And the blind spot detection devices are basically eliminate that, because they see it and they beep and they show a little blinking light in those mirrors, so that it would be very hard for you to miss somebody trying to pass you on your right.
But your Jeep does not have one.
My Jeep did not have it, and I found out why. It had not been put in as standard, which is now is in the Jeep Cherokee lineup, as standard equipment at the early in the early stages of production of the 2019 model year vehicles. And so it was credited on the sticker. And now it is standard on the Jeep Cherokee model line that I purchased, the Latitude Plus, because they it was what they call delayed introduction, which basically
to the model year?
What?
To the model year?
To the model year.
Is that correct?
It can happen.
I understand it
there
can, should it?
There is very small print somewhere on the sticker that says the vehicle may not have everything. Some vehicles may not have everything that you later see advertised as standard equipment during the same model year.
Which I'm sure the lawyers put in. But what I find absolutely fascinating is you are, meanwhile, you know, while you're talking about specifics and small print, you are, from an advertising standpoint, not you, but from an advertising standpoint, a bunch of people who would otherwise grow up and drive cars are being told that basically press a button, take whatever car gets delivered to you. You've got nothing. You've got no skin in your car game, which I think is just... Yeah. Foolish marketing.
Yeah.
Personally.
Well, it's the way it is, and it will be that way probably going on in. So we've covered the General Motors extension of two model lines of sedans into 2020 now, and maybe Ford will follow suit with their Fusion and their Taurus, but I have yet to see it yet. So we'll move on to some other things that are going on. The diesel scandal, which has been more or less resolved in the United States, and that's probably all that matters as far as this show basically is concerned, is apparently growing in Europe, in that because
no kidding.
The legal courts in Germany are denying Volkswagen's ability to convince the lawmakers that they actually were able to allow it. They were should have been able to allow cheating software to be declared legal under European law, and obviating the company's requirement to compensate affected customers of diesel vehicles, diesel VW vehicles. The court has denied them the ability to defend themselves on this basis, and so European owners of diesels may next be on the compensation line for money from Volkswagen, which will just mean they have to pay out more the way they had to pay out to some 500,000 of us diesel owners in the U.S. That's a short blip on that topic. Another auto show, which happens to be in Europe, is about to start. Maybe it's starting actually this week, and it's in Geneva, Switzerland.
This is the big deal auto show, yes?
This is a big deal auto show in Europe, yes. And sometimes...
Autos
that show up there
on the calendar.
End up on the U.S. It's right. On the calendar, correct. April is coming, and I will be going to the New York Auto Show. It's actually sort of semi-late in April or midway through. I think it's the 18th or something like that. Not quite sure. I think
does
I
it coincide
went
with
last
Easter?
Year. Doesn't matter. Maybe it does. I haven't really looked
at the
calendar.
I just don't know what the system is.
But the European model, the European companies will be there in force in Geneva. I do not notice that any of the U.S. companies are listed in this list of Geneva participants. So there's not much use. Oh, Jeep is going to be there. Actually, Jeep, I think, is actually quite popular in Europe. The Wranglers may be popular, and the smaller versions. I'm not so sure about the Grand Cherokee, although I understand in some places the Grand Cherokee is quite a popular vehicle. But you do not see Ford. You do not see General Motors with anything, at least in the list that I'm looking at as I'm conversing with you about this on the show. Jeep is the only American brand listed here, which means that Dodge is probably not shipping any vehicles to Europe in any numbers. But Jeep has certainly got a number of vehicles that are popular, and I suspect that the Jeep Wrangler, the Jeep Cherokee, and possibly one other Jeep, the small one that's based on the Fiat architecture, and I keep having a blank on the name of it, but it's here. Is probably popular in Europe, too, because it is one of the smallest Jeeps out there, which means it fits on the narrow European city streets much more conveniently than the larger vehicles do. But the I'm not going to discuss much about the Geneva Auto Show preview because there's not a lot to talk about American-wise. The usual European manufacturers that are in the U.S., Audi, BMW, Mercedes, are going to be there. Honda is going to be there. Kia is going to be there. But they won't have – their models do not necessarily make it to our shores in the same composition, so to speak, as they are in Europe. So we'll wait till we get to the U.S. Auto Show to discuss that. What else is going on? As I said, technology, in my view, is sort of reaching maybe a sort of a pinnacle of development, although I'm sure there's a lot of other things. I'll tell you what is forthcoming, and that is going to be new technology in the headlight world if, indeed, the U.S. Side of the pond, the ocean, decides to allow the high-technology headlights that Audi has introduced as standard equipment in Europe and will be introducing in programmable mode as available in the U.S. if they're given the go-light go-ahead to turn on the technology. And these are smart headlights that will have computer programs that will allow these LED headlights, which is what's forthcoming here, and they're already available in Jeep. I have LED headlights on my Cherokee, but they're not programmable. They're just low beam, high beam, which is still user programmed by a switch on our steering wheel. As you know, you push it forward or backward to go from low beam to high beam. But the Audi's going to have a totally automatic headlight system, which will not require, if it is allowed to be turned on in the U.S., any user intervention, presuming that it works properly, if it is allowed to be turned on. And that's because they've got LED headlights, and there's a program that will allow the LED headlights to set themselves in the height that they display their visibility and or the number of LEDs that are on as to forthcoming traffic or oncoming traffic.
So that means on the one hand you're not going to be blinded.
Theoretically, that's what's supposed to happen.
And on the other hand, you'll be able to see at different times.
Yes.
Better. Yeah, exactly. Like if it's a dark road, no street lamps. No.
And that'll Audi is the A8s are is the line of vehicle that has this standard in Europe, and is coming to the U.S. with the capability already programmed in, but it may not be turned on, so that you won't have the benefit of that if you do buy an Audi with this. And of course, it's an optional headlight system. The standard headlight system won't be initially.
So, how much do they clip you for?
I have no clue, but it's not. It's in the six-figure
it's not gonna be
option
expensive.
Situation.
Right.
It will not be inexpensive. And, you know, this is the case you go to where if the vehicle that you're looking at happens to have it on the showroom floor in an Audi dealership, you may end up with it whether you wanted to pay the extra thousands of dollars for the package or not, because you just don't go into Audi dealers and even Mercedes or BMW dealers and necessarily see hundreds, well, not hundreds, but, you know, high numbers of these, the luxury end of these vehicles sitting on dealers' lots, because they don't generally stock them in high numbers. They may have 2 to 3 or 1 to 4 of these vehicle lines, vehicles of the high line on display or on site at the time you may visit, because they are 100,000, you know, they're six-figure asking prices when you get the high option packages added onto the baseline. I think the Audi A8L, and it's only going to come in the extended wheelbase version now in 2019 instead of a short wheelbase and long wheelbase. And whenever I owned Audi A8s back in last century and early this century, and you could get them in short wheelbase and long wheelbase. And there was probably a $10,000 to $12,000 difference between the short wheelbase version and the long wheelbase version. And the long wheelbase is only available in the U.S. in this coming year, which means that unless you, if you wanted the smaller version for driving, for sporty driving, or just because you were one person, you didn't need to carry six passengers with extended rear seat legs room and all that kind of thing, you can't get an Audi in the standard wheelbase version, which you can do in Europe again. And that same goes for the Jaguar. They have an extended wheelbase version versus a short wheelbase version. And I'm not sure whether the short wheelbase version of the Jaguar XJ series is still available in the
U.S. Are people still buying cars in Europe and importing them?
I am not aware that there's a lot of that going on. It may, you can actually, you can get European delivery of an American a car built to American specification standards, but I don't think that there's a lot of purchasing of European versions of the same car and getting them successfully imported easily into the U.S.
Because it did used to be that you would, for example, go buy your Volvo, drive it through Europe, and then bring it back.
Well, and you still can.
You can.
And you can do it with the Audis, and I believe you can do it with the BMW and Mercedes.
And can you get
European delivery? You get the U.S. spec vehicle, but what you do get is you get a lower price. You usually get an airfare over, and you have a nice delivery procedure, and you use your car for X number of weeks driving around, breaking it in, having a good time, and then you fly back to the U.S. and you have it in it, and the manufacturer ships it over to the dealer of your choice in the U.S.
But you can't get the extras.
Well, you won't get the standard headlight system in the European version of the A8 delivered to the U.S.
Just trying.
Good try.
Thank you.
Is it going to work?
We
still have some winter weather remaining in our corner. I think the body shop people are very happy with winter weather. Owners aren't.
Well, owners could be a bit better about speed.
They could be a bit better about speed. There's still excessive speed. You have to really worry about this excessive speed on corners and in black ice conditions, which you can rarely see effectively, certainly not in less than perfect daylight. And
the assumption that there isn't black ice is sort of staggering.
Well, the other situation, which you have seen on many of the nightly news programs, is the numbers of SUVs and trucks that you see in the highway accidents and the storm patterns that are moving across the country. And, you know, they have lots of filming of this, the heavy weather. And you see SUVs turned over upside down and trucks and all that. And people still have the misconception that they're sort of invulnerable if they're in an SUV or a four-wheel drive vehicle and can drive on despite the weather conditions, which is totally false in many cases.
And then there's that.
Especially in the stopping situation, because four-wheel, and boy, let me tell you, anti-lock means anti-stop worse than ever on steep, declining hills, because I almost slid right out into the middle of a highway at a T intersection on a steep hill situation where they had not adequately sanded the the area right before you intersected the highway, and I hit my brakes, and I wasn't going very fast. I was on a service road in a ski area, and I merely slid right onto a highway because the anti-lock was so loose on it that the wheels just kept turning and the car didn't want to stop.
And then the other thing I'm going to throw in at the very end of your show is car lengths. You know, you don't necessarily have to tailgate the person in the middle of a storm.
Especially in the middle of a storm.
He is Robin Leach. This is Car Keys.